Okay, so Mirtzah Hashem, we're going to talk about something which is very Nagei L'Inyan, which is something which is very, very timely. We're dealing with in the Pel Yoetz, page 509, the Inyan of Shmira. Right, Shmira, of course, right now is a very important thing. There's a lot of discussion about right now. When do you go to Mamad? When do you go to the Mikvah? When do you do this? When do you do that? And again, there's a kumine different halachim, and you have to speak to your Das Torah. I know Rav Berkowitz Shlita is of the opinion that at the end of the day, of course, from a sikui standpoint, from a chance standpoint, your particular area, do you have to run? No, but you know, it's still worthwhile. It's still important that you should, to the best of your abilities. Of course, there are certain circumstances where like your kids are going to get freaked out and you're going to actually cause much more harm by your lack of calm, by running to the miklat and pulling everyone out of bed. And sometimes it may be worthwhile to be mevatra on that for the long-term concern that actually may negatively affect them on a deep basis. Let's take a look at the Pel Yoetz, what the Pel Yoetz says. It says Shmira, right? So we're in the Indian of Shmira. The Torah tells us that a person should be very careful to guard their soul. Right? To take care of it, to be very, very diligent in how you take care of it. You take a look. There's nowhere else in the Torah that uses the lashon ma'oid, which is the point of emphasis, than it does by this mitzvah of taking care of oneself and one's own safety. And the reason for this is because we value life. But believe me, the undertones and the theme underlying that is so incredibly important in terms of the people that we're going against, that we're dealing with, is that we value actual life because we understand that life brings more to our mitzvahs. As you say, we're not a death cult. Islam in its essence is a death cult. It's purely a death cult. It's a cult that lives for death and is not scared of death, is not scared of dying. Adarabba, to them, it's like the greatest way of living. It's a very Gnostic idea. It's very scary, the roots of these ideas. For example, also Christianity. Christianity values death. That's all about their life. All about why their Getchka himself died. And they view that as a sign of freedom and of life and of true life. Yiddishkeit does not view the world through that prism. We live through the world of this world, although not the Iker, is a tremendous opportunity to steig and to grow. And to the extent that you take care of yourself and that you can be a tip-top shape and you're controlling your environment in a healthy way, you're able to make more mitzvahs. Do not put yourself in a malchus sakana, because perhaps there will not be a nes that will occur for you. Meaning, you know, a situation I had over Shabbos where my daughter, she was walking down. We took a walk, my wife and I, around the neighborhood, and there was an area where there's steps, and there was like a little slide for strollers to go down. And it was pretty steep. It was steeper than usual. You know, it was built pretty like Heimish. And my daughter is 3 years old. She didn't want to go down the regular steps. She wanted to slide down. And the first time she did it, Baruch Hashem, it was like shaky, but she made it. She then tried it again. Shaky, made it. Already by the third time, splat, hits her knee, and she's crying. And we tried to explain to my three-year-old, who doesn't really understand the concept of, you know, of cause and effect, that you were lucky the first two times. And what we will call not lucky, but it was Hashem was obviously being watching you and taking care of you. The natural means of things is that it shouldn't be that way. But what happens is you test your luck too much. So God forbid, you know, God forbid, you look at all the, if God forbid somebody even sees these videos, but like you see these videos of, let's say, the rockets, you know, getting shot out of the sky, and then the debris falling down. What? I was not sure. We're talking about even during the week or during last, you know, during the Erev Shoshana, things like that, right? Where there was one video where this was the schus to see, because his mom should believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that in Erev Shoshana, 200 ballistic missiles were sent from Iran and didn't kill anybody Jewish. The one person that killed was a Gazan who was in the West Bank illegally. And that was a Palestinian that, boom, you see, the rocket got shot out of the air and then the debris falls down. And who does it hit of all the people? Direct hit on this guy. The body goes flying, whatever. It's a little bit morbid. The point is that you see that, like, this stuff can happen. It has to happen to somebody, God forbid. So of course, yeah, that was a nace. But we don't go ahead and put ourselves on the tzad that Hashem will take care of us. And if taka, there was a nace that happened, then what's going to happen? You get up to Shemaim, and was it worth it that you put yourself because you wanted to take a look at the sky and to see what's going on because you had a little bit of sakranut? I mean, unfortunately, it's a very scary thing on Shabbos and Har Nof. There was a CCTV video that was put out after Shabbos, just to warn the Olam that right next to one of the yeshivas in Har Nof, there was debris that fell down from the shemayim, that fell down from the sky, and hit one of the cars in the parking lot. I think it was on Rehov HaKablan. And not even literally within 60 feet were a bunch of Bachrim standing outside on a porch looking what's going on. Can you imagine, God forbid, if it actually hit them? Or got even worse, that, let's say it didn't hit them, but the resulting blast of the debris falling down did hurt them. Okay, it's a scary thing. It's a very, very scary thing. We cannot put these persons in makom sakana. It's very important. If a person is going out of their way and doing it, b'makom sakana, pashut, just the shame being having sakronos, just the shame being a mesaker, isn't being curious. You know, they say curiosity killed the cat. And God forbid, we do not want to be killed. We want to be in a safe position. People rely on us too, also, if you can imagine. Okay, when a person puts himself sakana, you're not just an individual. You're a child to somebody. A mother and a father. You're a sibling to somebody. You're in your Hashem, you're a father to somebody. And in your Hashem, even better, you're a spouse to somebody. People care about you. Okay? It's a very, very scary thing. And even worse, I care about you. Okay? So don't do it to me. All right? Ubezor HaKadosh Amar al-Pasuk. The Pasuk says in the Zohar HaKadosh. Well, it says in Mishlei, but from the Zohar HaKadosh. Arum Rav and Nisar Ufasim Arvun and Nashu. What does that mean? Sha'al Sha'avru Zois Bilvad Shalai Nisru. I feel in biyadim of an acher al zen enshu sho'ivra mashik also about terv nishmatim such nav nashes deichem. You could literally be perfect. You not do any averas, but you put yourself b'makom sakana, and then a nes was done for you. You've taken away your zchuyosav and shemayim. You get up to the and you have nothing left. No money in the bank left. Why? Because you were over on the iser of nishmatim ma'oyla nashes deichem. Do not take care of yourself properly. Now it's scary to say that could God forbid mean. Not necessarily you put yourself in a position of like during wartime and you're staring outside in the sky like we're talking about. It could be you don't eat well. That's a really scary thing. For all we know, God forbid, you're sitting, you see a lot of amazing, special Tamid HaChachamim who smoke. It's unfortunate. It's a very scary thing. I don't want to speak too intense because, you know, you have to be very careful with these things. Or they eat tremendously and they're putting themselves in a sakana of diabetes. It's a very, very, believe me, I have one to speak, right? You know, it's a very, very serious thing. A person has to really be aware. I was speaking to a doctor recently. He said that one of the biggest problems that we have in our community is that people don't have life insurance. You have tons and tons of people that are unfortunately not eating well, not working out. You know, learning Torah, Baruch Hashem, it's matashish koyach. It makes you tired. It also is a sedentary lifestyle. You're not moving around a lot. So that means that we're not taking care of ourselves to the best of our abilities. We have to be, you know, it's an amazing thing. Bar Kochba, he had in the soldiers in his army. First of all, they were not the soldiers of today. They were tzaddikim, gemurim, shein kamoyu, that mamish were machbed kol kol shel yud. The Gemara says that he wouldn't accept someone in the army who's a filu sach bein tefillah letefillah. What does that mean? That he spoke between his tefillah and shel yad and tefillah shel rosh. That was already considered to be an invalidation. Couldn't be part of the army. And they were so strong, they were able to pull out a tree from the ground on a horse, running right by, boom, pulling it out of the ground. These people were insanely, insanely tip-top shape. Ge'oinei Yisrael, tamid hachamu flogin. There's even some chokrim that suggest that it was the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva were the ones that were this. Again, this is not true, but you know, I'm just cool for the idea, which is that you have great Talmid Chacham that were the soldiers of Bar Kochba. Okay. A person has to take care of themselves. We've seen that the Gemara says in Brachas, right? The person was a tzaddik, was davening, and what happened was, is that he was in the middle of Shemona Esrei, and the hegemon, the soldier, or the commander, came over to him and said Shalom Aleichem to him. He did not respond back, Shalom. It's famous Gemara, right? Right? He had to calm him down afterwards and explain to him. Right? He went home. It's not that he went home. He died. He was killed. Maybe if he didn't speak to him, he would have chopped his head off. You have to be very careful about these things. Someone who relies on an ace, he's doing a terrible, terrible thing for him. Now we live in a world today where this is too logical. This is like to follow the Pikud HaOref. That's not mystical. That's not mythological. That's not that's not showing your true faith in God. The true faith in God is to not listen to the authorities. It's to jump around and bounce around like you have no brain cells left in your brain. That's not Yiddishkeit. And it's like we live in a world today where the more illogical something is, the holier it is. Where have we got to that point? Adarabba. Am Yisrael's Am Navim V'Chacham. Adarabba. We're so chacham that we do the smart things. We do the normal things. But it became so, my Rebbe calls it, Rav Chaskel Weinfeld, he calls it the allure of the abstract. It's the lack of what makes sense. That's what's so exciting. But to follow a rule, to make sure that you have a, you know, that Meiron shouldn't be 750,000 people all get stopped into one little tiny area that no one, Lehovla, never ever thought that that was normal, and all of a sudden, boom, it became a normal thing. It's abnormal. We're not going to get into that. We're not going to get into that because that's not the nekuda I'm trying to say. And again, if you live life always through the prism of Yenom doing something wrong and never looking internally what you could do better and what you could do better, I didn't say that either. I don't know what I said. But the point is that if a person is always looking at Yenom, oh, Yenom, this, again, if you're going to agree that there is a normalcy towards population sizes and how much and who and where and when, does that add other elements or other aspects? Of course, but it's not an either or. Okay. He died, unfortunately, because why? Someone who's Mesumach and Sakana, Mamakam Sakana and Anais, Hashem takes away a lot of your schuyos. What you're doing is literally, you're taking a huge yalome, the blue, the pink diamond, the plink dream, whatever, you know, famous diamond that is in the world, the most expensive diamond in the world, right? And you give it over for what? For Kama Prutois, a couple dollars. For why? That you should be able to, you know, to do what you want to do in this world. You want to look outside. It's ridiculous. It's required that a person should take care of themselves from any concern of sakana. Again, there's limits in how much you can go. There's certain aspects of sakana you're able to make a decision for yourself. This is true. I'm not positing the child. This is something you have to ask the Dine Hollander. I spoke to Rabbi Weiss about this for a long time, about the Indian of skydiving. Is one allowed to skydive or not? What do you think? I mean, in a sense, you're putting yourself at no greater makam sakana than jumping out of a plane at 150 miles an hour, you know, and nothing holding you up. And you're relying on the fact that the guy who packed the shoe did his good job. I mean, is a person allowed to do that or not? So Rabbi Shawai said, in everything that a person does, there is always like an element of sakana. I'll tell you, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, they're both actuaries. You know what an actuary is? Insurance? Okay. So the government, or so the insurance companies, they use actuaries to create an algorithm to basically, in a sense, mathematically define what is the chance of your death. God forbid you, right? This person's death. If you're going to insure you, they want to know what are the chances you're going to die. So they do based off of BMI, based off your body mass index, based off of whether you smoke, whether in your medical history, a whole genetic, every factor. And then they need to assign the percentage of like, what is the chance of this person dying or not? But that means that they have to calculate pretty much every single human activity and decide what are the chances of the person dying, because it may not be worth it for us to insure this person. They're taking a chance, right? They don't want to have to insure you if, God forbid, the minute you get the insurance, boom, they have to pay out $100 million the next year. They're taking a chance and a gamble. So they can pretty much decide that me crossing the street from one side of the road to Zichron Yaakov to the other side of the road, there's a 0.7% chance I might get hit by a car at that moment. But everything in life that we do, there's always a tzad and a chance a person can get hurt. Okay, so a person can make that. So does the Torah require us if when the Shemar the Ma'ol Nafshasechem that we just don't walk outside, we stay inside all day, you pump yourself with every single vaccine possible, right? Like what's it called? You wear tobacco patches before you even start smoking. Like, what is it like? No, obviously not. God wants us to be normal. The question is, where is our level of normalcy? So Rabbi Shawai said it is permitted to go skydiving. Okay, because statistically, it's not actually that dangerous of a thing. It's funnily enough, although it is in a massive sakana, but it's not a sakana to the extent that you literally are putting yourself in a vadai sakana situation, even a chashash sakana situation. Most cases, 80 to 90% of skydiving activities, getting into a car is probably more dangerous than jumping out of a plane. Okay. Getting into a cab. Yeah, well, an Israeli cab, that's like a 97% chance. God forbid. Meaning, unless you have a really, really good reason, but even monetary reasons, although may be a factor, although think about it like this: on the side that you don't do it, and you're taking care of your neshama, and you're taking care of yourself. And view that money that you invested as a mitzvah as money for a mitzvah. Same way buying a lulav and esrog. Took care of the mitzvah. That's a good question. That's a good question. No, and because it's still for yourself. I mean, you're not allowed to buy. Right. You can buy it for your wife. Okay, you have, I would suggest speaking to Dine Hall. Oh, yeah. The problem is, I think that eating that stuff is more because I'm not sure. Let's say, God forbid, there's some type of plague in your city. This would have been really negated during Corona time. Right? We learned this actually together in the Kailo. I don't know if W were here by the time we learned. Get inside. Right? Don't go outside. Right? Wait until this moment of chaos ends. Do not be like these stupid Arabs who say like this. God will protect me. No, that's not how it is. Get inside and take care of yourself. Don't be, we don't have this false sense of gaiva. There's three types of gzeres that come to the world. We have to do your particular hishtalis. Hashem will do his job. He does his job, we do our job. Say what you need to do. That specific sugya is speaking about if you have a mashchis that's outside, right? We have it by Pesach, right? If there's nisna rishus, the mashchis lahashchis, right? It's in a mavchin bein tzaddik l'rasha. It doesn't make any distinction. So whether or not you're a tzaddik, you stay inside, take care of yourself. Let's continue further. I understand. What was your question? He's saying the Yishmael Matipshin Sho'imrim. I guess Pshat Tehillim is referring to these people, right? Im Hashem Yishmael Shav Shokad Sho'imrim, right? Again, Hashem's gonna listen. It may be true, but how it's applied when there's a Makam Sakana, the Peliyot is saying that's not applied. That doesn't apply. Ve'im Miyadei Matzil. Okay. Uvechlal Chiyav Hashmira, and within the obligation of taking care of oneself. Of course, the highest form of being makbid on your neshama is chas shem not to do any avera. Sh'amru, the rabbi tarfon kedai ha'isi locho v'atzmecha shavarta al divrei bis hila. Right, literally, that you would get one against bis hila. I think the Gemara says over there, speaking about how he said kriya shema, I think lying down as opposed to standing up, like the sheet of beis shammai, not bis hila. Someone who is up all night, goes outside by himself, and wastes his time on things that are totally trivial. You are, in a sense, opening yourself up towards attack from Yetzirah. Someone who forgets one element of their Torah, God forbid, again, you're opening yourself up to attack. It's like, God forbid, Israel did not have the Iron Dome. What would happen? What would happen? You never know. Listen, you don't know. But from Alpi Derech HaTeva, if a person is opening himself up to attack, you are going to get hurt. The person should, God forbid, again, not live this type of life where you're opening yourself up to attack, and God forbid, getting even worse to where your family is affected. Can't do it. It may affect, even according to one Shita, according to one Mahalach of Kares, it may affect your children as well. If a person is not taking care of himself, he's doing a particular refuah and is not following the directions of the doctor tells you stay away from green foods. I remember my grandmother used to take a certain medicine and said, you can't eat any food that's green. Something element about vegetables and green. The person goes ahead and does it, and then turns back and says, I'm now being negatively affected. Yeah, you didn't follow directions. You get what you get. Okay, we'll stop here. Okay, Hatzlacha.